tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 27th, 1990. Holiday Week Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene Moody, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is the teacher of the afternoon.
You know how I am. I'm an engineer. I work everything out in advance. I have my prepared lessons. I worked up one new lesson for this camp meeting, and I have my other lessons, so I'm ready to go. But this, I don't feel like doing that this morning. So I'm just going to take my time. Usually, man, I just zip it to you real quick and let you have it. And it's all worked out in advance. So I'm just going to see what God's going to do this morning, which is not, like I say, it's not my usual style. But we're just going to see. I'm just going to share with you, and I'm going to see if God has some interaction. The thing I'm impressed with is God is not... This isn't a one-man show or one-woman show, like Linda said. God is moving among you. And the beautiful thing is God can use any of you. See, any of you who is a Christian, who will let the Holy Spirit lead you, God can use you. And this I really love that part because when we minister, we try to let God use whoever He wants to in our ministry. And this is our private ministry. And it's just like this morning, I wasn't the only one that had to do the work. You know, there were other people there to help me. And I was trying to be perceptive to the Holy Spirit and let them have a part, which they did this morning. And I'm not going to go into any details, but I'll just give you a good report. We had a real good personal ministry this morning. And I would say that it really blesses me. You know, it blesses me when I see God work in a person's life. It blesses me when I see that person receptive to God working in their life. And it really blessed me this morning. You know, I just sit there and I see the Holy Spirit. What will the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit will tell you what your problems are. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, God will tell you. God will show you. And praise God, He did this morning. Over and over again, God revealed to the individual the problems within that person's life. And then once the Holy Spirit has revealed this, then you know how to minister. And it's like God says, okay, this is a problem. Now we need to minister on that problem. So we did that over and over again. And God was really with us. The Holy Spirit was really with us. And I appreciate that. men are typically not as perceptive as women. Women have a beautiful characteristic that they are more perceptive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit than men are. And I try to utilize that. I really depend upon Earlene to help me discern things. And I say I'm fairly perceptive and discerning and so forth that the Lord has given me to minister in this area, but I'll never be like a woman. I'll never have that intuition, that perception. And so I depend upon Earlene. I depend upon other women to help me, and I try to be open to them and let God move through them. And so this is what was happening this morning. People were helping me, and the Holy Spirit was really very strong this morning. And why was the Holy Spirit really very strong? Well, because the person who's being ministered to is very receptive. See, what are you going to get from God? Okay? You're going to get from God what you want. If you don't want God, if you don't want some aspect of Him, God is a gentleman and He will not force Himself upon you. So one of the things we look for in people when people come to us for help, and we look for them, we say, are you really interested in the Lord helping you? Do you really want help? Do you really want to be open to the Lord? Do you really want to be open to those who are ministering to you? And one of the keys is being honest and frank with God and with those that are ministering to you. And this is a real key, a real characteristic for someone who wants to get help. God is a gentleman, and you know the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is so gentle and will not force anything upon you. And if you want to offend God, well, by all means, don't offend the Holy Spirit, because there is a point of unforgiveness there. So you visualize the Holy Spirit as being so gentle and so loving and everything, and ministering to you this way. Well, God is a gentleman. So if you don't want salvation, if you don't want the baptism, if you don't want healing, if you don't want deliverance, if you don't want prosperity, or whatever it is that you don't want, then by all means be assured you won't get it. Because God won't force it on you. And in a sense, see, God has taught me this. I was, when I first came into, after Byron died, and I was trying to find myself, I was trying to find, you know, what is it I'm supposed to do, God? You know, I had basically, before Byron died, I was a two-bit Christian. I've always made a good salary. And so, but I go to church and give God two bits, you know, give him a dollar or whatever. I was really a cheapskate. Boy, was I a cheapskate. Stingy with my family. And after Byron died, then I sought the Lord. What is it you want in my life? And so God began to deal with me. Well, you can imagine me when I first got into Christianity and really got turned on, I was like a bull in the china shop. So I would try to force you. I'm going to force you into salvation. I'm going to force you into baptism and healing or whatever. Well, God dealt with me, and I found out that was wrong. I never forget one time that they had this program in Baton Rouge to try to save the city. It was on television and so forth. And so the people would call in, and they would have these names. So I was going to go down and do my duty. So I went down, and I sold Jesus over the telephone. And I coerced these people into getting saved. And I had real good success. I mean, I was adding up those numbers there, you know, so many saved. And I left there, and God dealt with me. He said, "Gene, that's the wrong thing to do." And I didn't go back. You know, I was ashamed of myself. And so I wouldn't go back and do any more, because that's the wrong thing to do. You know, you can sweet talk people into it. You can coerce them. You can force them and so forth. And I even did this in my job. I was a manager. I managed a department, had 55 men in it. And so I'd get them in my office and I'd close the door and I could sit there and talk about anything I wanted to. And so I saw some good results out of it. I saw some people do things that were good for God, but also I turned a lot of people on. And so, excuse me, I found out that's not the right way to do it. So now I try to be perceptive to the Holy Spirit, try to see what is it that God wants me to do. And this morning, another thing that I appreciated this morning, it took us a long time. Well, this is the way we minister. You know, come up here, I'll touch you and run and catch from a plane type of ministry. We take time with people. And I found out that when we take time with people, we see real good results. Now, one of the things that happened this morning is as I was taking time with people, even though I was sitting there freezing, shivering, like to have something to drink, like to have some good hot coffee or something to drink, you know, and sitting there in candlelight, you know, you can't hardly see the right, and it's cold, and yet we were doing what God wanted us to do. And so, in a sense, you see, I'd like to have gotten it over with, and get it over with. Glenn had come back there, and he told us, well, it's nice and warm out there, you know. But I didn't feel like we should come out here. I felt like we needed the privacy.
I was wanting to use the nursery.
Oh, the nursery? Okay. And so, I just felt like standing back there and shivering. So I didn't think about the nursery. And so I said, well, we'll just stay back here in Chevron and we'll do God's work and God will protect us from catching pneumonia here. And so in a sense, I wanted to get that thing over with. You know, it'd be nice to get out here with all everybody and get warm and everything. It took me a while to stand over there and thaw out because I literally got cold to the bone. But on the one hand, I'd say, get those demons out. Drive those demons out, Gene. Get it over with. And get out there where it's warm. And then on the other hand, the Holy Spirit would say to me, slow down, Gene. I need to do my work. You know, you see, it takes God time to work. I mean, we in the modern day world, we look at God and we think of McDonald's. Lord, we're gonna go through the drive-in. We're gonna drive by God, and as we drive by, you fill our platter. And that's a sign of modern day Christianity. We want everything instantaneous. Lord, give us instantaneous everything. Well, that'd be nice, but God is not that way. So I'd be saying to myself, on the one hand, I guess it's Satan talking, but Gene, let's get this thing over with. And then on the other hand, the Holy Spirit would tell me, you know, it takes time to drive demons out. It takes time for the Holy Spirit to work. So what I saw is the Holy Spirit working with this individual. And the Holy Spirit would bring things to the person's mind that they had maybe forgotten. Okay, so the Holy Spirit would bring things to their mind. Then, once God does this, that's a clue to me to go ahead and deal with them. I mean, when God is telling a person something, He's not just telling them just for their information. He wants something done about it. So I say, okay, now let's deal with this situation. So we would deal with that particular situation. We would pray. We'd break curses. We'd break soul ties. We'd cast out demons. We'd give the person a chance to be ministered to by God. Okay, how can God minister to you? Well, what I see is the Holy Spirit will come to the individual. Something will be called to their mind, and then they'll just break down and cry. Now, that's ministry. To me, you just sit there and you just thank God, and you just watch the Holy Spirit minister to that person. And you can sometimes sense things are changing. Sometimes I'll watch a person's face. I used to, when I first started ministering up here, I wouldn't watch it. When I was casting out demons, I closed my eyes. And I did this, I think, for a number of reasons. One is I didn't want to embarrass you. And the other is I couldn't quite handle that either. So what I'd do is I'd close my eyes and I'd cast your demons out, and I figured that was the best. Well, now I don't do that anymore. Now I watch you because I like to see the things that are going on in your face. Many times I can tell what is happening just by watching your face or watching your eyes. And so I think I'm a better minister for watching you now than closing my eyes. And I don't think it's really an embarrassment. I no longer feel embarrassed by watching you get your demons cast out. So I would observe this individual this morning. And it was really a blessing to me. It blessed me by the person's sincerity, by their willingness, their want to. And so God really did work. And He did, I think, probably maybe a greater work than what I normally see in one of our morning sessions, where normally we'll work with a person from like 7 o'clock to 8 to 9 o'clock and then go eat a late breakfast and come on into service. But God was just, we got started late and God was just taking His time. And so I really feel like, I can't speak for the individual, I can just speak for what I saw. But I really feel like the individual got a real, fairly deep ministry. And got an awful lot of help. Okay, now that individual sees some of those things manifest in this particular camp meeting. Okay, but the person will really see it in future life. This is when you really find out what has happened to you as you see these things worked out in your life in the future. So that part really blessed me. And then I came in and I saw the fire, and I like fireplaces. We don't have one. And I enjoyed going over there and just standing and getting my bones unthawed. And I just sometimes I just like to stand back and just listen to people sing. I like to just hear other people worship God, and I'm just sitting there just sort of reverently or standing there and just listening, and that blesses me. And I'm blessed I'm blessed with the music that's quieter. I enjoy the music where you can hear. I like to hear you sing. I enjoy hearing you sing. And I prefer that over where the music is so loud all you can do is hear the music and you can't hear anybody sing. So I enjoyed hearing y'all sing this morning. I enjoyed hearing you worship. I enjoyed watching you. I enjoyed watching you. It was a blessing to me to see you entering in. And so I just sort of easily entered in with you then. So I enjoyed the fireplace. I enjoyed getting warm. I enjoyed you worshiping God. I've enjoyed the ministry this morning, although it was sort of difficult. It's difficult for me to sit back there freezing and go on with. But nevertheless, I enjoyed what God was doing then. One of the things about the smaller camp meetings is, see, we can be more personal with each other. We can be more relaxed. We can be more personal. You can get more help. We have more time to talk to you. Some of the bigger camp meetings, you know, it's just a constant barrage of people who want help. You don't really have the time to spend much time with people. And here, you see, the smaller camp meetings are more informal, more impersonal. You can receive more help. And I like that. It's more of a family. See, we're more of a family now. We're not like a big, impersonal group. We're more of a family. We're more intimate. We're closer to each other. We have more time for each other. So I enjoy those aspects. And every camp meeting is different, and this one clearly is different from any one I've been. It's the first one that I've been to that we didn't have any lights. That's the first time I've seen the fireplace on over there, and the first time I ministered in semi-darkness. So it's different, but nevertheless, it's good. See, there's a spirit here. Well, how can I describe that? See, every time you go anywhere, there's a spirit over you. You feel a spirit, and that spirit has different characteristics. Now, the characteristics of the spirit here is the characteristics of all the spirits within you, the angels around us, the demons around us, the Holy Spirit with us, God visiting us. So you get a feeling, like a feeling or a spirit. And so there's a real good spirit here. Do you feel like there's a real good spirit here right now? Okay. And to me it's just a mixture. It's a mixture of the people. It's a mixture of your attitude. It's a mixture of the angelic activity around us, the demonic activity around us, the movement of the Holy Spirit within our life. And so I feel real good right now. I feel like, there's a real good spirit here. Do you feel relaxed? Do you feel at peace? Okay, that's the way I feel. I feel at peace with God. I'm relaxed. I'm relaxed in the presence of God. And it's just like a family, like a big family here. So praise God. Some of the things were on my mind coming up here. I'll just talk about my business a little bit. We went into business back in August of '86, and I was probably well prepared to go into business, but I didn't have any idea what would happen. I didn't know whether we'd make enough money to live on or not when I went into business. But anyway, I felt impressed at that time to go into business. And I remember getting, you remember when I got to the camp to pray for us, that we would do okay in business. So I felt like, well, that's the thing to do. But see, it was a beginning. It was a beginning. And what I've seen God do through the years, now early in my, we're very hard workers. I believe that whatever God gives you to do, you have to work at it. Okay, God doesn't bless laziness and slothfulness and so forth. So whatever God gives you to do, put yourself into it. And there was work at it. So this, Early and I and our daughter, we have a good work ethic. We have a good work attitude. So anyway, we got into the business. And so I felt like, you know, we would make it in order to at least be able to eat. But what I've seen God do, now we've been in the business about 4 years and 4 months. And what I've watched the Lord do through that time is He has blessed our business. And every year, it's been better than last one. So I'll give you a year-end report. This year was better than last year. Now, I've also had to work harder and longer hours and more days. Now, you say, well, Gene, you know, you have been always successful. I mean, everything you've done, everything you put your hand to has turned to go. Well, that's not really true. I came out of school as a graduate engineer, and engineers always make good salaries, and I started out back in 1956 as a young engineer. And so we've always had a good salary and always had enough to eat and live on. But there came a time. A lot of things happen after Byron died. So there came a time that I had a real good job. I had that job I was telling you about. I supervised 55 men. I was the director of civil engineering and made a real good salary. And lo and behold, there came a series of layoffs. So I got laid off and I went to this other firm and they wanted me to do this work, but they really didn't have anything to do. So I stayed there for a year and we never did get the work that they were supposed to get for me to do. So anyway, I got laid off there. Then I went to this other firm, and while I was there, work went real good and we were working on this refinery. And then the refinery went bankrupt. And that was the main work that the refinery had. And so I got laid off there. So I went to another firm, and that firm lasted 4 months. So it kept getting shorter and shorter in period of time. So I went into business for myself with another man, and that lasted 3 months. And during this period of time, I got on unemployment. Now visualize someone who well-experienced, making real good money and everything. And I ended up on unemployment. You know how much unemployment pays. Not very much. Nerline had to go back to work as a school teacher, and the Lord worked that out. And so, anyway, I went from what you might say is a real good management position down to the bottom. So we financially hit bottom, and we went along that. And this was sort of hard on my pride, too. You know, to have to go through that. But anyway, we hit bottom. And we stayed on bottom for a while. In fact, I used up the unemployment. And then God began to bring us back. And one amazing thing is while I was on unemployment, God arranged for us to pay off our home. So we became debt-free. It's amazing the things that happened. But God was working in me. And I had prayed a prayer. You have to be careful what you pray. I had prayed a prayer back when I just first got into full gospel Christianity. I used to write down everything I would pray. And then later on, I'd go back and check off the answers to prayer. And I did that for a long period of time. And you'd be amazed at the things that I checked off that were answers to prayer. But anyway, I prayed this prayer, and I asked the Lord to do a certain thing for me financially. Never realizing the consequences of that. Well, as I look back now, I see the consequences of that prayer. God has answered the prayer. But to get me, first of all, He had to break me out of the rut of the engineering. I was in engineering. I enjoyed it. And I was good at it. And I thought I'd stay in that. You get in this rut. So you get in all kind of ruts in life. Well, I was in an engineering rut. So anyway, He broke me out of that. How did He do that? Well, a series of layoffs put me on unemployment. Okay, get me to where I would open up my mind and be willing to think in another direction. And think about it, that God could do something in my life other than the typical design engineer. So anyway, he worked in that category, and He worked me out of being a typical design engineer, and He worked me into another area. Now I'm what's called a forensic engineer. So this worked, and it took years. And God had to literally break me away from what I was wedded to. I was wedded to my engineering profession and move me in this other area. Well, in doing so, what he did is he moved me into an area that got my prayer answered. It also did a number of other things. One is I asked the Lord to give me more freedom in my life, more freedom to minister, rather than being tied down to an 8-to-5 job, 5 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year, with very little freedom. And so God did that. So in one of the things, one of the fringe benefits, God gave me freedom to do things that I want to do. So early on, we now have a lot more freedom than we've ever had before. We have a lot more financial freedom. We have a lot more freedom of time. We have a lot more freedom of choice. So God moved us through that. So what I'm telling you is the prayers that you pray, be sure that you want those answers. Because God will hear you. God always hears you. There's never a time when God doesn't hear you. And how he answers is dependent upon him. So it took years. It took years for God to work through my life. It took a lot of pain and suffering. I mean, it's painful. It's painful to have to go down to the unemployment service, and go in and sit in line and all that. That's painful. And I had to go through a certain amount of pain and suffering to go through this. But out of that, the Lord has really blessed us in the area of business. How long this will, now here's another thing. I can't tell you how long this will continue. I can't tell you that my business will continue for the rest of my life, that there won't be some upset there, that God won't change his mind, he won't change the way he deals with us. See, God, when God deals in your life, when I first got into Christianity, I thought once you started doing something, you do that for the rest of your life. But that's not true. See, your ministry changes as you go through life. You don't do the same thing all of your life. Your ministry changes. God changes you as you go through life. And I've watched our ministry change many times. And I see it slowly changing now. So God is going to carry you through financial difficulties. If you keep your eyes on God, then God is going to bring you through those. If you're going through financial things, then God will carry you through those. This is what I've seen with Erlina. We've gone through financial difficulties. God has carried us through them. We've gone through the difficulties of a lost child, and God has carried us through those. That was extremely difficult. It took Early and I about 4 years before we began to get our feet on the ground. It almost destroyed us, almost destroyed our family and ourselves. What I see in the ministry now is as our business has grown and taken more of my time, then we have less time for the personal side of the ministry. When we first got started out, I was sort of gung-ho. And we would minister to people 5 to 7 nights a week. I mean, just every chance we got, we would go and minister to people. And we would just run all over town ministering to people. And then there came a time when God got that more in control. And instead of letting Satan dictate how we minister to people, then we let the Holy Spirit lead us and show us how to minister. So then we began to get more control over that ministry. And now it's to the point where we minister to people by appointment in our home, and we minister one Sunday a month. We set aside one Sunday, and we minister to people one Sunday a month. And so it's gone from almost a full-time activity of personal ministry down to about one Sunday a month. Well, what else has happened? Okay, it's been a real blessing to see Lake Hamilton Bible Camp publish a deliverance manual. And we get reports. So we people call us up, or they will write us letters from around the world, and they'll tell us about how that manual is blessing them. Okay, I see the thrust of our ministry now more in the teaching area. It's more of a, well, teaching and writing. And we set aside one Sunday a month to write. And so that one Sunday a month, I write, work on a new lesson. or whatever for the book. So part of it is the teaching, just like this. I would consider this teaching. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. Okay, so we fit into the teaching category. We teach and we minister on what we teach. So what I'm seeing now is the thrust of our ministry is mainly in the dissemination of literature, the dissemination of tapes through Lake Elman Bible Camp, the dissemination of literature through the camp, and then we send things out through our home. We send things out to people that request literature around the United States and to some degree around the world. And then we get reports back from this. And the thing that really blesses me is to see how God is taking these tapes, He's taking these booklets and so forth, and what He's doing is He's training others. See, I'm not interested in just standing up here and casting out all your demons, because I found out how demonized you are. Okay. I found out how hard a task that is. Okay, so my interest is to train you. Okay, husband and wife, I want to train you how to cast demons out of each other, how to cast demons out of your children. Okay, I want to train you how to do it. Okay, so if I can impart the knowledge that God has given early in life, if we can impart this to you, then you can take it and spread it all over the world. And that's the only way it's going to make any appreciable dent. And so this is, I'm slowly seeing this. I'm slowly seeing the literature, the deliverance manual, the booklets and so forth. I'm slowly seeing that spread around the world. And that's a real blessing. And then we work with people on the telephone, and I see results there. And so their personal ministry has been, I'd say it's been decreased considerably. The public ministry has probably been increased through tapes and books and so forth. And the ministry in other churches and so forth, we don't really make any attempt to get speaking engagement. We don't have the time. And if God sets it up, then we will try to fulfill it. So I would say probably you can see how our ministry has changed from the more the intense personal ministry now to the more the written word and the spoken word. And so that's been a blessing then. For God to work in that area. In our personal life, right now you're probably wondering, everybody wants to know, where's Earlene? Well, she's with her daughter. And our daughter is in the process of having our second grandchild. The last time, the doctors missed it a month. And so I don't have much faith in the doctors predicting when the baby's going to come. And so we figure it can come any day. So Earlene felt like she should stay with her to help her with, if the baby comes, to be with her in the delivery room, to be with that grandchild, to help her. Earlene helps with the business. She goes over and helps them remake chemical tests and so forth, and helps them, you know, with their family life. And so Earlene is our sort of, is a helper. We spent Christmas Day with them, had a real good, enjoyable day, just a day for the family to get together and you know, do the things that families do together. So that was real good. So what I see there is God is working in our lives there. He's helping to, you know, reestablish family relationships, helping to to overcome things that happened in the past, like when Byron died, the problems we had there, when her daughter went through a 5 years of hell in a marriage and went through a divorce. And so there's good things that happened in the reestablishing the reestablishing family ties, helping to overcome old hurts and disappointments and so forth. So I see that happening. And so I try to set aside a certain amount of time for my family. Mainly it's just Earlene, Marie, Nathan, Nat, and the new baby. So I try to divide my time. So my time is divided between the business, the ministry, and our family. And it's a very busy life that the Lord has us in. And God is really blessing us. I mean, I just praise God. And I give Him the glory. And I asked the Lord when I got into business, I said, Lord, bring me the work you want me to have. If you don't want me to have it, then let some other expert get it. And so I have to feel that the work that comes into me, the cases that I get, are cases that the Lord would have me handle. And best I can tell, the Lord wants me busy. He wants me busy working in a business. He wants me busy in a ministry. And He wants me busy in my personal life. And He wants, in other words, if I could do it, I would live the perfectly balanced life. That's what we shoot for, but there's no way that I know, no easy way that I know to do it. In other words, you need to have a balance in your life. You need to have a balance in your business, your ministry, your personal life, whatever else, recreation, whatever. You need to have a balance there. In other words, you need to devote the proper amount of time to each. And that's very difficult. It's very easy to say, but it's very difficult to do. And so I try to achieve some balance. And you can't neglect any of these. If you neglect your business, then you're going to end up in poverty. If you neglect your ministry, you may end up in hell. If you neglect your family, they may end up in hell. Okay, so any area of your life that you neglect, then you'll pay a price for it. So, and we can't spend all our time. We can't 24 hours a day. We can't be on our knees praying, or 24 hours a day. We can't be fellowshipping with our daughter, or 24 hours a day every day. We can't be working on our business. So you have to try to balance your time, and that's very difficult to do. And so I have cut out a lot of things in my life that I would consider to be extraneous. I mean, we really don't spend much time in recreation. We don't have campers and second homes and boats and all that other stuff. I just cut that out because I don't have time for it. Hunting, I love to hunt and fish. I've cut that out. So I've cut a lot of things out so I can have the time for the important things. In other words, what is important in your life? You know, is your you have to work. See, God very clearly, I think it's in Proverbs mainly, tells you, you know, you have to work. And He tells you what you are if you don't work. Okay, so whatever your job is, you may be a full-time minister like Brother Bowling. Okay, that is his work. Okay, and he's got to work in his work. Okay, so that's where his living comes from. Okay, then you've got your spiritual side. And you have to work it. In other words, if you want to be a good Christian, is it easy to be a good Christian? No, it's not easy to be a good Christian. You have to work at it. Right, you have to spend time at being a good Christian. So you have to work at being... Okay, how about your family? Is it easy to be a husband, a wife, a parent? Do you have to spend time at things? What happens if you don't spend time at it? Divorce, children ending up in jail? So we have to work at everything God gives. We have to work at being, like, I'm a grandfather, I'm a father, okay, I'm a minister, I'm a Christian, I'm a businessman. So I have to work at all these things. And as you work at them and as you're led by the Holy Spirit, then God will bless you. Okay, another myth. I'm going to explode a myth. Should Christians be poor and downtrodden and defeated? Any of you believe that? No. You have a right to prosper. You have a right to prosper mentally, physically, spiritually. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with God's prosperity. God says, I wish that you would prosper even as what? Your soul prospers. So how are you really going to prosper? Are you going to prosper by ignoring God and just spending all your time on your business? Are you going to prosper by ignoring your family and spending all your time on God? No, you're going to prosper as your soul prospers. And that's going to be prosperity in God. So as you have the right relationship with God, then you're going to prosper. Okay, let's take fear, for instance. Are you going to be able to conquer fear if you can't love God? What is it that casts out fear? Perfect love. Now, perfect love for what? For yourself? No, perfect love for God. Okay, so if you have a perfect love for God, you don't have any problems with fear. If you have fear, that means you don't have a perfect love for God. That means you don't trust God. You can't depend upon God. God is undependable. Well, I would think of that as putting your soul, and there's in its right mind are having the right relationship with God. And that's another key area. If you have fears, then you're dependent upon yourself. And when you depend upon yourself, you're in trouble. Because none of us can depend upon ourselves and really be comfortable. Because we're all inadequate. I mean, let's just face it, folks. We're inadequate. Okay, so I mean, if I look around me and I see the world going to hell, and I think about depending upon myself, I'm in trouble. If you depend upon yourself, you're not going to have peace. You won't have a peace that passes understanding, which only comes from God. Yes, yes, you can be free of all things. Well, I got to ask. Okay, I got to ask myself that question while you're asking that. I think I'm free from all fear. Now, if you ask me, is Earlene free from all fear? I say no. Yeah, it is. It's harder for women. See, why is it harder for women? Okay, I think what Earlene has taught me is women are dependent upon the men. Okay, so you're in a position of dependency. Okay, so now you can't do it yourself. You're dependent upon somebody else. Okay, and so you have fear. And another thing that came from Earlene's fear is her mother was a schizophrenic paranoid. And so this made it very difficult for her, and her mother taught her fear. You know, your mothers can teach children fear. Okay, let's deal in this area a while. Let's see what God is doing here. Now, I'm trying to be totally honest with you. I'm trying to be honest with myself and make sure I'm saying the right thing. Okay, I have the peace that passes understanding. Raise your hand if you got the peace that passes understanding. Okay? Now, what is that? That's a peace in God. It's a peace because you believe in God. It's a peace because you believe that God will provide for you. Okay, so now, I look around and I say, well, you know, all kind of bad things can happen to me, but I have a peace. I truly do. I really am. I'm very peaceful. I have the peace that passes understanding. It's not because of me. Now, as I look at the talents that God has given me many talents. I'm a very talented person, so is Earlene. Okay, but my peace doesn't come from my abilities. My peace comes from God. Because I can see how my abilities could get wiped out very quickly. Okay, Earlene told you last time about when I was in an accident. I was out of my mind. And I was headed for the vegetable cart. Okay. Praise God. I would have been a living vegetable. How about that? Wouldn't have been up here. Okay, so, but God brought me through that. God restored my mind because of people who knew how to pray. The doctors didn't do it. The doctors said it was a miracle. It must have been God. Okay, so even though I consider myself very talented and have many abilities, I don't rely upon myself. Because I realize I also have many weaknesses. And things that I'm imperfect in. Okay, so I rely upon God. So, Lord, I rely upon you. I mean, you know, if I'm going to be a martyr, there may be some martyrs in the United States in the near years. If I'm going to be a martyr, Lord, I will rely upon you. Whatever it is, God, you've got for me, I rely upon you. So I do have the peace that passes understanding. And I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to deal with a subject that you brought up here. Okay, if you really and truly have the peace that passes understanding, if you didn't just raise your hand just to look good, okay, then you're blessed. You are really blessed. Okay, let's deal with another area. This is a good one. Okay, do you have a perfect love for God? All right, then I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay. Raise your hand if you have a perfect love for God. That's a tough one, isn't it? Okay, let's try the alternate approach. Raise your hand if you have fear. Okay. Now, the corollary to that is if you have fear, you don't have a perfect love for God. Now, in the subject of fear, Early and I disagree. She has her beliefs and I have my beliefs. And I really and truly don't believe I have any fear. Now, if you say, Gene, you have a perfect love for God. Boy, that's a tough one. I don't know. I really don't know. I just know that the Scripture says, if I have a perfect love for God, I will have no fear. Now, why I don't have fear is because I trust in God. Okay, I don't have fear because I place my faith and trust in God. But to have a perfect love for God, no, I don't know if I could say that. I sure hope I do. Okay, so I can tell you that if you have fears, that you really don't completely have faith and trust in God. Now, should you have fears? No, I don't think you should have fears. Fear is something that comes from Satan. Right. God does not give you fear. Yes, Don? Yes, sir. That's absolutely true. Right. That's right. So you're going to have the demons on the outside. If the demons are not on the inside of you, they're on the outside of you. And they're going to be talking to you. Okay? And they're going to tell you, you know, you need to be fearful. You can't trust God. God is untrustworthy. Or God doesn't have the power, whatever. Now, you've got to... One of the key things that early in I deal with people in deliverance is helping them to understand when the demons are talking to them or when the Holy Spirit is talking to them. When it's God or when it's the demon. Can you tell? Can you tell when a demon is talking to you? Do you realize that a demon talks to you in the first person? The demon talks just like you are. Okay, let's say there's a delicious cake out there, or pie, and so the demon will say, I would like to have a piece of pie. I would like to have a piece of cake. Now, you may have already had one or two. Okay. So, but the demon is talking to you. Now, he doesn't say, my name is gluttony, or I like to eat, or fatness. Now, let's go get me another piece of pie. Over one morning, the demon did tell Earlene that. Earlene just had a big breakfast. We used to eat some real big breakfast. And the demon told her, go get me something to eat. Now, she had prayed to God, and you know that she would know what was going on. And God made this demon talk to her. God made the demon talk to her. And so she easily recognized this was somebody else. This wasn't her. Because the demon told her to go get him something to eat. Okay? But generally speaking, the demons talk to you just like it's you. Okay, so when this fear comes to you, it's not going to say, I am a spirit of fear, or I am a demon of fear, I'm a ruler of fear. He's going to come to you and say, I'll just pick on Brother Boland here. He'll come to Brother Boland, he'll say, I think I'm losing my voice. You know, I'm getting older, my voice is getting weaker, and it's beginning to crack a little bit. Wow, I may be losing my ministry. Okay, so that's the way the demon will work on it. Or you'll say, you know, the people last night, you say, and just like it was, you say, the people last night, you know, they were bored, and they were going to sleep, and your message wasn't any good, and it didn't really help anybody. You're really not a very good minister. See, that's kind of thoughts he'll feed into Brother Boland. He'll attack, where's he going to attack him, Naaman? He's going to attack him in his ministry. He's going to feed thoughts in his mind that he isn't a good minister, or he's failing in certain areas. He's going to try to introduce failure into his ministry. And he'll be talking to him. I guarantee you the demons talk to Brother Boland. They talk to all of us. Okay, so what has Brother Boland got to do? He's either going to accept that, yeah, well, you know, my throat was real scratchy this morning, and my voice, I heard it coming back over that speaker right there, and I heard my voice crack. And there's a pain down there. I wonder if I'm getting cancer in my larynx. Okay, so if Brother Boland, if he accepts these things, so he can accept them, the demon can come to him and put the thought in his mind, and he can accept it and run with it. Next thing you know, he's going down to the doctor to see if he's got cancer in his larynx. That's the way these things go. The demons speak in, they speak to you, then you either accept or reject those thoughts. And if you reject them, by and large, they're going to go away. You reject them in the name of Jesus.
Here's an example of how you responded.
Okay. Let's say I'm Brother Boland. Okay, so I got this beautiful singing voice. So the demon comes to me, and he tells me, you know, my throat is scratchy. It's been feeling sort of unusual here recently. I really don't know what's going on. It's just something I've never had. Okay, so the demon will tell me, I have cancer. I have cancer of the larynx. I better go to the doctor. Okay, so I accept that thought. Hey, you know, maybe I do have cancer of the larynx. Maybe I do need to go to the doctor. So I keep thinking about this, and the thing gets bigger and bigger in my mind. And I go down to the doctor, and I tell the doctor, I've got cancer of the larynx. I need you to x-ray me. I need you to check me out. Okay, so the thing begins with a thought introduced by Satan, and it grows. Now, why did it grow? It grew because I encouraged it. Right, I entertained it. I gave an edge to it. Right. And so now when I go to the doctor, I tell him I've got cancer of the larynx. Now, who knows? By the time that I've gone through all this and I've accepted the fact that I've got cancer of the larynx, then I may end up with cancer of the larynx. That's one of the frightening things about it. As you entertain the thoughts, like diseases. Okay, my grandmother died at 40 of cancer, my mother died at 40 of cancer, and I'm going to die at 40 of cancer. Well, the chances are good you will die at 40 of cancer. Because you've accepted that, and not only that, you've got the curse of the generations coming down upon you, and you've agreed with the curse of the generations. So you've accepted it, and the chances are good that you will die of cancer at 40 years old. We've seen patterns like that.
Well, you have to literally do something.
You have to take action.
You can't ignore them.
No, you can't. You can't ignore them. Okay, let's use one that's real simple for men. Okay, so the thought comes to the man. Hey, it'd be nice to have sex with that beautiful woman. So first of all, you've got to recognize, you've got to know enough about the Bible to recognize that, hey, I've got a wife. I'm not supposed to have sex with anybody other than my wife. Okay, so you recognize, hey, God wouldn't tell me that. Okay, so you say, that comes from the devil. All right, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to leave me in the name of Jesus Christ. I love my wife. She is my partner. She's the one and only I'll have sex with. So you have to take a nasty part and drive the demon away. Now, on the other hand, let's just exaggerate that. Let's say this woman truly is beautiful, and she's real sensuous and so forth, and then you start thinking about that. You start looking at her. You know, it's not the first view. It's the second, the third, the fourth, and then you start undressing her in your mind and so forth, and you begin to think about this. So you're encouraging that thought. You're building. You're taking that one thought that Satan imparted to you, and now you're growing it. I'm growing it. Okay, so now let's say, well, you know, I'm really not having a good sexual relationship with my wife right now, and, you know, on and on and on, and we're having problems, and, oh, it would be so nice, you know. Next thing you know, you've talked yourself into it. And then Satan will set it up. Satan will set it up where, you know, he'll set it up where, let's say it's Brother Bolin. Well, let's destroy Brother Bolin. Now, if I can just get Brother Bolin to commit sex sins, and I'll just get the word around, he won't have a ministry. He'll lose his wife. His wife will leave him. His children will look down on him and so forth. So he sets this thing up. He sets this trap up. Now, I'm falling into the trap. If I encourage that thought, I am falling into that trap. I'm leading myself into that trap, in other words. Okay, but if I cut it off at the pass, if I cut it off as these thoughts come to me, then nothing will happen. Okay. So it's up to me. No, Satan can't force me to have sex with that beautiful young thing. Okay, but I can encourage, I can agree with Satan and just lead myself. It's like I put a hook in my nose or my jaw and I just lead myself right over there. Okay, well, how about fear? Are there plenty of things around to fear? Why, sure. You can make up things to fear. I mean, there's many, many things to fear. Well, what are you going to do about it? You know, are you going to be a worrier? Is it okay to worry? No, I don't believe it's okay to worry. Why should you worry? Yeah, you're entertaining. You're entertaining fear. Okay, so, in other words, I don't believe there's any place for fear in our lives. Okay, now why do I not believe there's any place for fear in our lives? Because of what I read in the Bible. Okay, so how do you make your decision? Or you, the only way I know to make a decision is find out what's in the Holy Word of God and then let the Holy Spirit teach you. Okay, am I your teacher? No. No, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Okay, so you let the Holy Spirit teach you, but do you sit back on your rock and say, well, Holy Spirit, teach him? No, you get with it. You get into the Word, you find out what it is, and you don't learn it overnight. You work it for years and years and years and years. In fact, you work at learning what's in the Word all your life. Okay, and as you work it, find out what's in the Word of God, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, and then let's say if you come to a camp like this. Okay, God will impart knowledge through the people that stand up here through word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpret. God will impart knowledge to you. Now, you take that knowledge and you act upon that knowledge. It's a build. All these things that we do here, they're builders. They're building blocks. Okay, like I hear Brother Boland speak. Well, what can he teach me? What can Brother Boland teach me that I don't already know? Okay, or what can Brother Glenn teach me, or any of these people? Well, so I stand there and I listen to them, and I use that as a building block. Just another building block. They may tell me something I hadn't even heard of before. Okay, it may be great. Okay, or maybe just a small building block. So you take all these building blocks, you're building your pyramid, which is pyramid is the most stable geometric form there is. It's just block by block, block on block, line. What is it? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay, so I've learned a lot by coming up here to Lake Anna Bible Camp through the years. Yes, Don? Right. 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 Absolutely. We get attacked at our weakest points. We get attacked at the cracks in our armor. This person had a vision of their ministry. And they would see the Christians down on the ground, and they would be covered with blood, but there would be white spots on them. And the white spots were, the spots of pus and disease and so forth. And then Satan would come in through the white spots. Okay? So those are your weaknesses. Satan will attack you at your weaknesses. They will even send demons to reach you. They'll send a demon to reach you. Look at you and say, where are their weaknesses? The people in the occult do that. They send demons to reach you to look at your weaknesses. Okay, do any of us not have any weaknesses? Do any of us not have any cracks in our armor? Or any holes in our armor? No. That would sure be nice it would be nice to know that. It would be nice to say that. Okay, but I personally know that I have weaknesses. I have cracks in my armor. I'm not perfect. Never will be perfect. I keep working on myself, trying to improve, trying to get better, trying to be more Christ-like. I never will be another Jesus Christ. Okay, so when you're honest with yourself, you look at yourself and you see weaknesses there. Okay, that's where Satan is going to attack. He's not going to hit you in your strong areas. He's going to hit you in your weak areas. True. I don't see anything wrong with that statement. I'm just thinking, how can we apply that to fear? See, let's say you have fear. All right, God knows you have fear. Satan knows you have fear. Maybe even your husband knows you have fear. You know you have fear. Okay. Now you cry out to God. Maybe you're crying out this morning. Okay, you cry out to God, Lord, I have fear in my life. Help me. Maybe he's helping you right now. Maybe he's helping other people. Okay, so how would God help you with fear? He would help you to get rid of fear. Right. How would Satan help you with fear? Well, he would increase your fear. Okay, your husband. Okay, your husband. It's so important to have a good husband. It's so important for you husbands to be the spiritual leaders of your home. You need to look upon a woman as truly the weaker vessel. See, one of my jobs as a husband is to help my wife to be secure so she won't have fear. Or if she does have fear, one of my jobs as priest is to minister that fear and to drive it away. It's extremely important how husbands treat their wives. And it sort of frightens me in a sense that God, I know God is holding me responsible personally for the way I treat Earlene. And someday I'll have to answer to that. Good, bad, or indifferent, I'll have to answer to that. So in that sense of the word, Well, if you just think about this, the best of us, when we stand before God, aren't going to be too hot. I mean, I dread the time. I think of the time, and I'm going to have to stand before God, and God is going to read the book of my life, and it ain't going to be so hot. Okay, so I shudder. I mean, I don't really have any fear, but I have a fear for God. I have a respect for God. Okay, and I don't look forward to that time when God's going to read the book of my life, because there's too many things in the book of my life that are ungodly. Okay, so, okay, but nevertheless, I have responsibility here on earth to my wife. And women do have fear. So I have responsibility to comfort Earlene, to assure her, to pray with her, to cast her demons out, or whatever. Okay, that's my responsibility. My responsibility to minister to my wife. All husbands have the responsibility to minister to their wife. Now, okay, let's get back to fear again. God apparently wants us to concentrate on fear. Okay, another thing, like I notice women are doing, maybe Earlene, is they say, it's all my fault. And I tell Earlene, well, are you God? So, see, when you think it's all you, then you're playing God. Okay, so, okay, you've got to first, by yourself, you have to believe that the Bible says you don't have to have fear. Now, I can stand up here and I can talk to you all day about I don't believe that you have to have any fear. But if you don't believe the Bible says that you don't have any fear, then you see, where are we going to get? But if I can show you in the Bible, or if you can just believe that Jane knows enough about what he's talking about, that you shouldn't have fear. That's the beginning. The beginning is the knowledge of God that you don't have to have fear. Now, once you believe that, then you say, well, the Bible says I don't have to have fear. I don't have to live in fear. Now let's do something about it. Okay? Then you repent. You repent to God for having fear, and then you break any curses on you. Maybe curses on you came through your parents were fearful, your mother was fearful. And then you cast out the demons. And then you go and you fear no more. Now, how many of you believe that you have a legitimate right to have fear? Anybody? Do any of you believe that the Bible says that you should have fear? Right. Do any of you believe that the Bible gives you a spirit of fear? What's that verse? Yeah, 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's just say that. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So where did the fear come from? If God didn't give it to you. Okay, so if you believe that fear does not come from God, that it does come from Satan, and that you don't have to have it, and God doesn't want you to have it, then you can deal with it on a permanent basis. Which I think I have done. I can't tell what the future is going to bring. I just tell you right now, I don't have any fear. But I can't tell you how I will react in the future. I mean, that's sort of supposition or something else for me to tell you what I'm going to do. You know, when I face that firing squad and they get ready to blow my head off, I can't tell you what I'm going to do. That would be presumption on my part. I believe that God's going to be with me and I'll stand there and get my head blown off. Okay, but I can't tell you for sure what I'll do. Okay. So I don't make presumptuous statements if I can help it. Okay, to all of you, let's minister on that area and wind this thing up here.
Let me say one word.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the reason I believe that we should have an understanding of the times that we're living in, so that when these things come upon us, we'll not be taken with the spirit of fear. But these things are coming. We need to understand that. We need to know that, and then when it happens and when they do come, then this fear will not take us over. Now, we will be troubled and we will have anxiety, but to actually have fear is another thing. And that's why, from time to time, you hear me talk about that I believe from the things that we have been involved in, and the things we see, that these times are coming in the earth. And when they come, that we'll have our trust in the Lord and not have it be taken over by a spirit of fear. And now we need to deal with fear.
Amen. I agree. Okay, let's deal with fear. And Lord help me to pray here. Okay, why don't all of you stand up? You've been graciously sitting there for quite a while and very patient with me. Because I have sort of rambled here, but trying to tell you what I felt like God was working, dealing with me in. Okay. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me for my fear. For my lack of faith and trust in you. I repent. Lord, you said you wanted us to have faith in you. And you were displeased with us when we don't do these things. Help us, Lord Jesus, to overcome our fears. To have that perfect love in you. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the Holy Word of God. I believe it.
I accept it.
In simple childlike faith.
You said in your word,
for God has not given us a spirit of fear. But a power, and of love,
and of a sound
mind.
And I accept that.
I receive that.
I stand upon that.
I tell you, Satan,
you have no part in me.
I am not going to fear
from this time on.
I command you to leave me.
In Jesus' name.
I forgive my ancestors,
especially my mothers,
for having fear
and for teaching me fear.
I break any curses
on me
of fear,
of phobias,
of any type.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against those spirits of fear, and I command you to come out of people. Come out right now. I come against spirits of fear, fears of all times, phobias of all times, fear of failure, lack of faith and trust in God, distrust. Come out, spirits of lack of faith and trust in God, distrust, fears of all times, fear of failure, fear of God. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All these fears, we bind your power and we drive you out of people. Now come out. Fears and phobias of all times. Now loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. All fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. We drive out every spirit of demonic fear in Jesus' name. We break your power. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. I want all the families of fear, all the families of fears of different types and phobias of different types. Come out. Fear of anything. I command the fear of anything to go in Jesus' name. Now go. Go. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind your power and I drive you. I want all those fears to go. Fear of losing the ministry. Come out. Fear of losing the ministry. Or fear of losing a person's voice in the ministry. Or fear of getting old. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Fear of poverty. Come out. Fear of poverty and fear of failure. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of poverty and fear of failure. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. Loose them and set them free. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of losing the marriage. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The fear of losing the marriage. I call you out in Jesus' name. Fear of losing your mate. Fear of losing your children. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of losing your job. Fear of losing your ministry. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The fear of losing the family. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Go out in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke you, Satan. We drive you away in Jesus' name. Now come out. All these fears and all these phobias. In the name of Jesus Christ, that name above all names, your power is broken, we drive you out. All these fears, fears of overeating, come out in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. Come out, fear of destroying our bodies, come out. The fear of the end times, I drive out the fear of the end times, or the fear of going to war, or fear of being persecuted, come out in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. Come out, I drive all these fears out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, any fear of demons, or fear of Satan, or fear of fallen angels, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, we bind your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, fears of old age. I call out spirits of fear of old age and senility and premature senility. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. The fear of old age, the fear of senility, premature senility, fear of aging, fear of dying. Come out, fear of dying, fear of death. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Fear of dying, fear of death, fear of aging. In the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of being put in a nursing home. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. We bind your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out. All these fears of old ages, we call you out in Jesus' name. Come out.
Loose the people and set them free in Jesus' name. Come out, fear of diseases. I call out fear of diseases, infirmity, weakness, sickness. Come out. All these fears are being debilitating. Fear of our body breaking down. Come out. Fear of cancer. Come out. Fear of cancer. Fear of arthritis. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of cancer. Fear of arthritis. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Loose us and set us free in Jesus' name. Come out. Fear of operations. I call out fear of operations and fear of tumors. Come out. Fear of tumors. Fears of growth. Tumors, fears of cancer, fears of malignancy, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind your parent, I drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All these fears, fears of growth in their bodies, malignant, non-malignant. That's right, fear of disfigurement. Come out, any fears of fear of disfigurement. Fears of doctors, hospitals, nurses, drugs and medicines. Come out. All fears. That's right, in the name of Jesus Christ. The fear of God, come out in the name of Jesus. The demonic fear of God, fear of lost salvation, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Fear of lost salvation, we break your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now go, come out of us. Come out of us. Fear of our husband falling down on his job, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. The fear of the husband not doing his job, the fear of the husband letting us down and opening us up to demonic attack, come out. Come out of the women now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the men. The fear of the men being the priest and head of the home. Come out. Destruction of the family priesthood. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The fear of the men being priest and head of the home. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. All these fears. Fears of ministers losing their ministry. Are losing their health. Are losing their source of income. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All the fears of all the ministries losing the things that rightfully belong to them. Come out. The fear of the ministers growing old and people wanting young ministers. I command that to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out. All these fears, all these phobias. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The fear of not eating, the fear of not having enough to eat. We command you to go in Jesus' name. That's right. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. All these fears, all the fear of poverty and so forth. We bind your power. We drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. Now, I call out the things that go along with those. I call out all diseases, infirmities, weaknesses, sicknesses. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Everyone that we've dealt upon, I call you out. Come out, spirit of cancer, spirit of arthritis, spirit of tumors and growth, malignant and non-malignant. Come out, malignancy. I call out spirits of malignancy. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Call out crippling arthritis. Come out of our bones, our joints, our marrows. Come out of our organs. We call you out. A failure of the organs, we command those to go in Jesus' name. We command all these demons to go. We come against all the demonic sicknesses in the Bible. We command you to go. We come against that other list that God said that everyone that was not in the Bible. We command those to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Come out. Loose us and set us free. All these demonic sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities in every system in our body. We command you to come out. And I curse anything in our bodies that's ungodly. I curse it in Jesus' name. I curse any cancer, our tumors, our growth, I curse you in Jesus' name. And I command you to come out. I command you to die. I command you to die at your roots and come out. Now come out. Anything, any type of infirmity, weakness, sickness, and disease, our fear thereof, we curse you. We drive you out in Jesus' name. We command you to go. Now come out. Come out. Come out of the men, out of the women. I call you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out every demonic disease within our body in the name of Jesus Christ. Dormant or active, I call you out in Jesus' name. I curse you and drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go. Go. Loose us and set us free in the name of Jesus Christ. And I curse these fears and I drive them out in Jesus' name. I curse every fear. You are of the devil. We'll have no part of you. We drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, come out. Fear of man in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of man. Especially in the ministers who fear man more than they fear God. Come out of the minister. Fear of man. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of man. Fear of failure. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Now go. Fear of man. Fear of failure. Fear of life, salvation. Fear of God. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Loose him and set them free in Jesus' name. Fear of man. That's a good one. Okay, come out, every spirit of fear of men or fear of women. Come out, fear of men and fear of women. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, fear of men, fear of women. Inability to have a normal, natural relationship with a man or woman. Come out, fear of men, fear of women. That's right, in the name of Jesus Christ, we drive those spirits out. We break your power and drive you out in Jesus' name. Fear of men, fear of women, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go, all these spirits of fear of men and fear of women, we command you to go. All those Ahab, Jezebel spirits that set those up, we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now come out. At least Ahab, Jezebel spirits that fill up the fear of men and the fear of women. That's right. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Any fear of... What? Okay, fear of relationships. Come out. Fear of relationships. Inability to have a normal, natural relationship. Inability to get married. Fear of letting the emotions show. Come out. Fear of letting the emotions show. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out. I break the bound up emotions and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out. The bound up emotions. The demons that bind their emotions of where we cannot... Come out, demons of inability to give and receive love. Come out, spirits of inability to give and receive love. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, conception and lust. I bind your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. I go. Go, come out, conception and lust.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.